Welcome, a weekly get-together with the multiple communities living in Argentina. Where they originate from, their cultures, their projects, and how they were able to undertake them here. Welcome. So the whole world can feel quite at home here in our country.
On this week's edition of Welcome on RAE Argentina to the World, we're going to be talking to Beatriz Murch from the United States. Hello, Beatriz. Thank you for this contact.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, it's our pleasure, of course. You've been here in Argentina for how long?
I've been here for almost 11 years now.
Well, you're quite experienced right now. You're one of the veterans. In the veteran expat category, of course.
Yes, long term, not going anywhere.
I mean, and I'm pretty sure that you've got contact with other expats here in Buenos Aires. That's not the average.
Certainly.
That's not the average duration of an expat stay. 11 years. Most of them stay for 2 to 4 years, if I'm not wrong.
Right, I think that's about the average stay is, I would say, between 1 and 3 years. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been here for a while. So,
well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where you're from? What's your occupation? And how you landed here in Argentina? You've always lived in Buenos Aires.
Yes. Okay. Always lived in Buenos Aires. Arrived here in November of 2006. With my North American ex-husband. We were married at the time, and we were traveling around South America looking for a place to live. We traveled to Peru, Ecuador, Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay, and Chile. And I like to say that Argentina chose us. There were certain advantages here and opportunities here that didn't present themselves in other countries.
Such as?
The communities that we got plugged into very early on. My ex-husband is involved in open source software, so we plugged into the free software movement here, and I got involved with Wikimedia Argentina. Mm-hmm. And as a photographer, I was taking photographs and uploading them to Flickr, and using an open Creative Commons license, and then Wikimedia Argentina got in touch with me.
That's your occupation. You're a photographer.
Yes, I'm a photographer, and it basically started when on our travels, documenting our travels, and it morphed into more than just a hobby. It morphed into a job. Difficult to take it, you know, to the end of the month doing that, but it's something I love to do.
I understand. But I'm curious, with your former husband, you took the decision, you made the decision of living in South America, and you just took off and sampled several countries until you picked one. But what made you leave the U.S., abandon the U.S., and choose South America as the destination the final destination for your trip, I mean, your place of residence, no matter the country?
My ex-husband was interested in learning many, many different languages, and we came from California. That's where I grew up, in the Bay Area of California near San Francisco, and I did not speak Spanish. And I said, okay, instead of going off and learning Mandarin or Hindi or Arabic, let's start this journey that we're possibly going to go on and start with Spanish. It felt closer to me. South America felt closer to North America than traveling all the way to Asia. And it also just seemed like the right thing to do, because we didn't envision living in South America for the rest of our lives. It was going to be a 2 to 3 year thing.
I see.
While we learn Spanish and
I understand
and travel around.
Yeah.
But I just, living in California, I was like, I don't know Spanish and this is stupid, basically. It was more about language acquisition and then kind of narrowing it down as we started traveling.
No, but that was 11 years ago. You say you're You're referring to him as your former husband, so the story has evolved, I suppose, from that point onwards.
It certainly has. In 2012, the marriage, we broke up, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've been with this man for 11 years. I'm going to take some time to kind of recenter myself. And then, how am I going to deal with dating in Argentina? All the stories I've heard is like, this is crazy. This is nuts. How am I going to deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
And ended up rather quickly, unexpectedly, started dating a friend of mine, which kind of cut through a lot of the crap.
Say again, you started dating, I missed that word. You started dating
a friend of yours.
A friend of mine.
Yeah, it wasn't a stranger. It wasn't like, somebody that I just kind of randomly met. So it cut through a lot of levels of stuff that you normally have to dig through.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a wonderful Argentine man named Santiago. And basically we have been together since 2013. So 4 years. And we have a lovely young son, David, or David.
You chose a great name that can be perfectly used in both countries,
yes,
both cultures and both languages.
That was on purpose.
No problems at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you back to 2012. When you broke up, you never considered going back to the States?
No, and it was really interesting because so many people, both here and back in the States, were like, you're moving back. And I was like, no, not really. I really enjoy living here, the quality of life, although it's difficult here and it's complicated and it's messy. I find the quality of life in Argentina is so much better than in the United States.
Please develop on that, because many Argentines, if I translate that phrase, an American saying that, and I translate what you just said into Spanish, they would say we are totally nuts on this station.
Yes, no.
Can you please develop on that? What do you mean by having better life quality?
Of course, because there's so much more to life than the having the American dream, which is getting more and more difficult to achieve in the United States. And what I found living in the United States was that you had to work in order to live. And here in Argentina, In the United States, you live to work.
Yeah.
And here, you work to live. You mm-hmm. have to work, of course. You have to, like, llegar a fin de mes. You have to, that has to happen. But at the same point in time, you take time to be with your friends and your family and savor the moments. And in the United States, you're working all the time, supposedly, to provide for your family, and yet you don't ever get to see them. And if you do take time off to be with your family, you're a bad worker. And
are you sorry? Is that way? Really? I mean, you take time off to be with your family. It's frowned upon by your working colleagues, for example.
Yeah, no. If you try to take time off, the people who don't have kids are resentful of you, and it's just. There's supposedly this idea of the United States is family friendly, and the politicians jockey them who is more family responsible and family friendly, but in actual life under the corporations, it's not easy to do that. And so I find the quality of life here is much better, because at the end of the end of your life, what counts is the relationships that
Absolutely.
You have with the people and your family. Nobody's ever said, "Oh my goodness, I just wish I'd worked longer."
Yeah,
I mean,
people working with nurses and physicians and priests, people working with those who are dying,
mm-hmm.
They report on that and they write about it,
yes.
and they tell you about it. They never ever tell you about somebody who says. I mean, final words, I wish I worked harder. They always say,
right.
I wish I'd
been more productive.
Yeah, nobody says that on his death, on their deathbed. Nobody.
No. And so here I find the value that is put with being with your friends and your family and maintaining those connections. is super important, and that just, it changes the quality of life.
But
and
you
I find it much more better.
But you did say it was difficult. Now, please, let's go into that chapter also, because this program is aiming at foreigners who never been to Argentina mainly, and well, we would like to give them the full picture.
Yeah, it's not easy. My ex-husband and I started a business, and we did everything above board, making sure that we followed all the rules and all the tax codes and everything. And it was incredibly difficult to navigate the bureaucracy. But what was really interesting, and I was an administrator in the United States, and so I was like, oh, I'll be able to deal with all of this paperwork. It'll be fine. I expected the government to be a quagmire, and oh my gosh, this bureaucracy is just a nightmare. The government was actually quite reasonable. What made me tear my hair out were the banks, which was just like trying to deal with bringing money. And this was back in 2008, 2009, 2010. But it was just,
it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Especially especially coming from a culture in which banking and financing services are so sophisticated that, I mean, you go to the bank and nobody, from what I've been told and from what I've seen in my travels to the U.S., it's not common to go to the bank physically to do anything. You do everything online. In any case, you go to the ATM to pick up some cash.
Right.
But you don't have to go to the bank to talk about anything.
Yeah.
And here you see people queuing up outside the bank. In the morning, 2 hours before it opens at 10 a.m. For doing any kind of things. I mean, from getting a mortgage to getting insurance for their homes and opening a bank account or whatever.
Yeah, no, I was not expecting that at all. But it's, you know, I think that in the 11 years that I've been here, things have gotten a lot easier. I understand that new rules were put in recently where you could open up a business and do all the bureaucratic trámites or paperwork applications. And they were going to make it turn around in 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
And when my ex-husband and I opened up a business, it took months. Mm-hmm. To get all the paperwork I's crossed and T's dotted.
I'm
the backwards.
I reckon that as of late they've been trying to improve that. I mean, to make it a lot easier to start a company and to reduce the amount of red tape. But yes, I mean, coming from a country like the U.S., it's noticeably. Now, let's talk a little bit about David / David, and in particular about about your family, because you belong. I mean, you have a special kind of family, a binational, bilingual kind of family.
Yes, international family.
A family in which a parent is from a different. Both parents are not from the same culture, from the same origin. And that comes with some blessings, some beautiful things, and I assume some challenges as well.
Yeah, you know, I also grew up in a similar family, not quite as different culturally, but my mother is from England, from the United Kingdom, and my father is from New York, and I grew up in California.
Ah, okay.
They have experience. The same language, but it doesn't necessarily always mean the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, California and the British could not be more unlike. At some point.
So, Santiago and I are raising David in a very, bilingual and multicultural atmosphere. And it also comes with interesting challenges because we have different parenting styles. And it's interesting because neither one of us know how to be a parent, and this is our first child, and you read and you study and you kind of make it up and do as the best job as you can.
Yeah, but at the end of the
but
day,
but it's interesting to see the different styles that just come up culturally, mm-hmm. And it's interesting to deal with. I find Argentines are much, much more attentive and caring towards children, like picking the child up as soon as it cries, where I have a tendency more of, it's okay, he can cry a little bit, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. One of the things that I noticed immediately upon moving to Argentina was, wow, the children are so quiet. Meaning, they're not throwing tantrums all the time. And they're on the bus, and they're on the subway, and they're in the streets, and they're in the stores, and they're fine. And I just was kind of a shock coming from the United States, where I'm just used to children screaming at the top of their lungs.
In the States?
Yeah. Oh. And I was like, what is the difference? I still haven't figured it out, but I think it's just being much more attentive and being much more attuned to the kids and making sure that they are like touched all the time and cuddled and people love children here. It's just, it's amazing. You walk down the street and everyone's like, oh, good, da, 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 da.
Yeah, but doesn't that come with a flip side, like you're spoiling them, somebody would say?
Yeah, I don't see it as spoiling. I don't see, like that's, giving them too much and giving them everything that they desire. This is just attention. Mm. And there's a different, and it's loving, and it's just, it's very different.
It's a very children-centered culture. I mean,
yes.
There is no such thing as in other countries, a place where kids are not allowed. I mean, you can go to any kind of restaurant or public place. With kids,
movies.
Of course, I've got kids, so I can come. I mean, I'm not going to be barred from any place because I've got kids, save a stripper's club. That's the only place I'm not going to be allowed with kids, fortunately. But I mean, in the question, are kids allowed? The answer is always yes, in a restaurant or in a
they're
bar.
Not, it's not just allowed, they're welcomed.
Yeah.
And they're not made to feel like, oh, God. Oh,
yeah.
Here,
they're welcomed
by their child.
Not only by the business, but by the other patrons. By the other customers.
Right. Nobody rolls their eyes when you bring a child into a restaurant. Nobody huffs. Nobody. It's just everybody.
That's true. That's
always
been
the case.
Even when
I was pregnant, it was just amazing. Like, people giving up their seat for me while I was on the subway on my way to work. Mm-hmm. It was just, and it was never even like a question. It was. It just happened, and it's ingrained into the culture, and it's beautiful.
Something that I find interesting to discuss a little bit, because I'm telling the listeners, I've got Beatrice on my Facebook, and I remember not that long ago reading an update on her Facebook status talking about the experience of taking David to a hospital because of some health problems, and you were very passionate about that experience vis-a-vis the United States. Can you please develop on that?
Well, yeah, of course. It was an amazing, it was terrifying having to take your child to the hospital and calling an ambulance and getting that.
What did he have?
Going through. He had a convulsion because of a very high fever. And it was, the first time he's ever done that. I never experienced that before, and it scared the crap out of me. So I called the emergency number on the back of my health insurance card, and the woman calmed me down and got me in touch with the ambulance and stayed on the line while the ambulance came and helped me with David, and he recovered consciousness very, very quickly, within about 30 seconds, but it still just, it was terrifying. And then we took him to the hospital, and it was, you know, it's never fun, but the hospital was great. It was the Trinidad de Bartolomé in the barrio of Once. And I'd never been there before, but they took great care of him. And we stayed there, unfortunately, I guess I would say, for a total of 5 days. We wanted to make sure that he was fever-free for 24 hours. And
without taking anything, of course.
Right, exactly. No ibuprofen and no other medication. And so after 24 hours, I was like, oh, so we can go, right? Yes? And I'm like, you're going to stay one more night. I'm like, no. You know, they weren't eager to kick us out. They wanted to make sure that he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, that was their main concern. And they did tests, and, you know, they controlled his temperature all the time. And, you know, it was great. You know, as experiences go. And we didn't pay a cent. Ni un centavo. Like, everything was taken care of.
I mean, you pay your monthly obra social.
Right, of course.
I mean, you do pay for that. But
yes,
I mean,
there
are no co-payments. Once you're insured, you're insured. That's the difference. That's a huge difference. And not between Argentina and the U.S., between the U.S. and most of the world.
Yes. And with the healthcare debate going on in the United States right now, I mean, it's just, you know, I in the back of my head, I was like, oh, I know we have insurance, but, you know, are we going to have to pay out of pocket for the, you know, what? I honestly didn't know. And, you know, I asked my husband. He looked at me confused. It's all covered by insurance. Don't worry. And the insurance representative came to our hospital room a day before he was to be checked out to make sure that everything went okay. I was shocked by that. I wasn't expecting that at all. And this is private insurance. This is not, you know, public insurance. That we, you know, had we not had insurance and gone to a public hospital, we still would have been, you know, treated, and everything would have been taken care of. Would have been a little bit more complicated, but it's all covered.
By
the public health system.
The main difference, they say, is that between the main one, not the only, but the main might be not the professionals providing you care, but the infrastructure.
No.
If you go to a public hospital, you might be sharing the room with other people.
Right.
You might have to wait a little longer, but at the end of the day, you are not going to be paying anything, and you're going to get very good physicians, because many physicians, some of the best physicians work in public hospitals, because it's good for them, for their prestige also. I mean,
and the doctors here are amazing in Argentina. I have had nothing but amazing experiences here in my 11 years. I feel listened to when I go and talk to a doctor. I don't feel dismissed. I never feel rushed. And like you were saying, even in private thing, the infrastructure might not be as top notch as you have in the United States, but you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be fine. And it's the quality and the care and the bedside manner. It's just it's great. it's really really good.
One final
my
question.
My mother is a nurse. Yeah.
Okay. Do you, obviously you and Santiago and David, do you see you guys going to the States to live there, or you see yourself?
Not anytime soon. So there's a couple different factors for that. One is that Santiago is in university right now. He's working full time. He's a new father, and he's going to school. Even though he's going to a private school, it is something that we can manage to pay each month, the monthly installment, and we're not going into debt for him to get his education. So the idea is that once he finishes his education, we possibly might move to the States.
Okay.
However, that being said,
what is he
plan
studying?
Was before he's studying computer science.
Okay.
He is already a computer programmer, but he is self-taught, and he wanted to deepen his knowledge and his understanding.
Okay.
So he's going to school and taking calculus and statistics and physics and all of that good stuff. And so it's, with the election of Trump, I'm not eager to go back to the United States by any stretch of the imagination, especially now that I am part of an international family. And were we to go to the United States, yeah. my husband and my son would both be seen as immigrants.
Yeah.
And that's not a society, that mindset that I really want to have them in right now. And it's just, it's, so no, in the immediate future, we're not looking
I understand.
Relocate.
Beatriz, this was a great pleasure. It was... a joy to hear your story, and I am really appreciative of you joining us on the air. Thank you very much, and all the best in your future endeavors, and the best for you and your family.
It was a pleasure.
That was Beatriz Murch from California, living in Argentina for 11 years, a mother, and well, this was another edition of Welcome on RAI Argentina to the World.
Every Thursday. Welcome. The story behind those who came to our country from far-off regions, communities, institutions, joint projects. Welcome is more than just a program, it's a get-together.